News, sports, AccuWeather, and more. Wake up with the information you need on WKOK Sunrise on News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com.
And thank you so much for joining us on the WKOK Sunrise. My favorite opportunity to find out what to watch has come. Movie Mike McGranahan is here, professional movies critic. His website, aisleseat.com. I swear I check it out every time with all these different choices for streaming movies. Every time we look at one, we check it out first. He's a member of the Critics' Choice Association. Do as I do. Follow him on Twitter, at aisleseat. He's in the studio now. Welcome aboard, sir.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for coming in. You think during a pandemic your life would simplify somewhat, but no. Now you got theaters plus 100 new streaming choices and a lot of good quality products on the streaming services as well. Today you're here to talk about The Hitman's Wife's Bodyguard.
Mm-hmm. The Hitman's Wife's Bodyguard is the latest example of that curious phenomenon, the sequel that nobody asked for. Ryan Reynolds and Samuel L. Jackson are back, and this time they're trying to foil madman Antonio Banderas, who has his eye on Jackson's wife, played by Salma Hayek. Banderas is playing a Greek man, and Morgan Freeman has a small supporting role as Reynolds' father, so that tells you a few things about this movie's idea of humor. The Hitman's Bodyguard was a middling action comedy, but The Hitman's Wife's Bodyguard is an absolute atrocity. The plot randomly takes the characters from one country to another, which would make it hard to follow if it made any sense to begin with, which it doesn't. There's plenty of bloody action here, but it's filmed in a choppy manner that sometimes makes it hard to tell what's going on. As for the comedy, it feels like the actors are just ad-libbing. Goofy jokes and sudden bursts of slapstick humor come out of nowhere, clashing badly with the violent mayhem. Really, the only thing I enjoyed was Salma Hayek. Listening to her foul-mouthed character outswear Samuel L. Jackson is amusing. Of course, by the end of The Hitman's Wife's Bodyguard, I felt like cursing up a blue streak, too. Seeing so many great actors stuck inside such a pointless, idiotic movie is enough to make anyone mad. On a scale of 1 to 4, I give it 1.5 Kevlar vests.
Okay, my favorite scene in the trailer is when they get bloodied up in one scene. Then days later, he appears again. He still has the blood on his face from an incident days earlier. I thought that's interesting. But anyway, why? Why would these great actors make this film? I mean, even in the trailer, you can see it's just, you know, one straight one-liner after another.
You know, this movie reminded me of the Cannonball Run 2 from back in the 80s, which is notorious for not really being a movie. Burt Reynolds and all these famous actors got together, and they basically ad-libbed in front of the camera. Wasn't really any plot or whatever. They just sort of goofed off and did whatever they felt like, and then they released it as a movie. And that's what this feels like. I think that these actors signed up because, you know, it was an easy paycheck. They got to go to all these different countries around the world and travel as part of the story, and then they went on set every day and just kind of made stuff up as they were going along, and then they released it to the public. So it really doesn't feel like anybody cared too much about this movie.
Are they proud of it?
They probably should not be. I mean, this is not the best work any of them have done. And I should say, I don't really fault the actors. They're fine, but there's no script here. The action scenes are clunky. You know, they're left to make up humorous dialogue because the jokes clearly weren't written in. Ryan Reynolds tries to do that thing he did in Deadpool where he's throwing off these one-liners left and right, but it really worked for Deadpool. It doesn't work here, so I don't quite fault them, but yeah, they shouldn't be proud of this movie. It's going to be quickly forgotten.
Oh, I hope they don't typecast him into that type of a role where he's expected to be humorous. I mean, he's not completely unfunny, and Deadpool is just is that a phenomenon? Is that like a cult
following? Yeah, I mean, those were huge movies, and he was so good at them. He was the perfect choice to play Deadpool, but he's kind of doing the same thing here, and I think that speaks more to the lack of a script, to the idea that they didn't really have anything solid written down, so the actors showed up on the day and said, well, we'll improvise and we'll fix it.
Yeah, we'll make it funny. And, you know, it's not a horrendously awful, terrible movie. It's just not very funny, right?
Right. Not funny, not exciting.
Okay.
That's a long 99 minutes.
Oh, geez. Okay. All right. And that was, what, 1.5?
Kevlar vests.
Kevlar. Okay.
In honor of what bodyguards wear.
Right. You're going to need it if you go there. Okay, so let's start out with entertainment news. Mm-hmm. Britney Spears in the news. I read up, I wouldn't normally read too far into these, but I'm glad I did. This is really quite a situation.
Yeah, Britney Spears asked the court to end her conservatorship on Wednesday. In a 20-minute statement, she said she felt traumatized and abused by the people running it. Her father is apparently the main culprit. Britney said she's been paying him and others to basically control her every move, from making her perform when she doesn't want to forcing her into therapy programs she doesn't want, and restricting access to her own kids if she doesn't comply. She also revealed that she would like to have another child with her boyfriend, but her father will not let her go to the doctor to remove the birth control device that she has implanted in her, so she cannot even have another child when she wants to. So this is very, very shocking allegations from Britney.
That is strange. Well, yeah, and read deeper into the New York Times version talks about sometimes he makes more money in a year from this trust than she does.
Yeah, I mean, that's just absolutely insane.
So it's just a tough situation all around. Well, and it's funny because when you hear her talking, you hear her testifying or speaking out against this, you can see that, you know, she's not, she doesn't really have it all together perfectly, like maybe some, you know, maybe somebody does. But she's not rambling or, you know, ravenous or strange or,
right.
I'm not sure how to describe somebody that might suffer from whatever the mental illness that, you know, they say she has. But certainly she seems pretty cogent most of the time.
I think if she were not this big multi-millionaire music star, this would not have happened to her. If she was an ordinary person working, you know, regular job, she would have custody of her children and, you know, be able to see them when she wants, not have a conservatorship. But I think the fact that so much money is at play here probably factors into that. People realize there was a lot of cash to lose, and so they're doing everything to protect the cash and not necessarily protecting Britney.
So she has advocates in this, but they may not be, their voice may not be being heard sufficiently, or, you know, maybe they're wrong in the eyes of the court or that kind of thing. What does this say about us and child stars and us and stars in general?
Well, she's another example of a child star who was very big at a young age and then has had trouble growing up, you know, difficulties, mental health problems, substance abuse problems. We've seen that with her. We've seen it with Demi Lovato. We've seen it with Selena Gomez, who's had a lot of, been very open about her mental health problems. I mean, star after star after star, when you're that popular, that young, and you're making that much money, you become a business for adults. And adults fundamentally try to protect that business more than they try to protect the kid. And I think that that certainly happened here. And that's probably to some degree part of Britney's problems that she's had over the years, mental health-wise.
All right. So what's the outcome of this, or what's the next event? This is, what, a hearing that was held?
This was a hearing, yes. So I guess the judge will decide whether or not this conservatorship will continue or whether it will end.
Okay. So the potentiality exists. She could be free and clear of this in the years ahead?
She could get control of everything back, and you know, I hope that she does. I think that she worked hard for her money and for control of her life, and she deserves to have it.
And then the last aspect we'll talk about is the protesters, the demonstrators, the mm-hmm. Free Britney Spears movement.
Yeah, it's a whole movement, especially online. People are really tweeting out Free Britney and pushing for her and trying to let her know as fans that she is supported.
Okay. Yeah, what a quirky situation. I thank you for pushing me to check a little bit more into it. This is it's unusual. Harrison Ford was hurt on a set this week, and not just because he's making any movie. Come on now. Indiana Jones.
Yeah. A Disney spokesperson in a statement said that in the course of rehearsing a fight scene, Harrison Ford sustained an injury involving his shoulder on the set of Indiana Jones 5. Production will continue while he's treated, but he'll be sidelined for a little bit until he heals.
Okay. And Harrison and Indiana Jones 5, doesn't that phase you?
Well, I mean, Harrison Ford's up there in age now. Right. The fact that he can still do some fight scenes, I think, is great. This is not the first time he's been hurt on set. Back in 2014, he suffered a broken leg and a dislocated ankle while making Star Wars The Force Awakens after a hydraulic door on the Millennium Falcon set knocked him and pinned him to the ground.
Oh,
so, yeah, he's been injured before. He takes these physical roles, but he's a never-say-die kind of man, so I think he'll be back in action as Indy pretty soon.
And how old is he now?
Oh, I want to say he's in his upper 70s.
Okay, so
he's up there.
Yeah, 70 plus. Yeah, that I did catch that much. All right. So, well, yeah, go get well soon. And, of course, when you're when you're that old. And I know a lot of people that are 70 plus, but they'll tell you when you're that old, you heal slower. So
right.
That's happening. All right. And Jerry Seinfeld may step off the live stage soon. Mm-hmm. Tell us about that.
Yes. Jerry Seinfeld is writing, directing, and starring in an upcoming Netflix movie about the origins of the Pop-Tart. It's called Unfrosted, and it will start production next spring. Seinfeld says he felt inspired by the sadness of the pandemic to make something based on, and this is his quote, pure silliness.
Okay. All right. We'll look forward to that. Find out about the origin of the Pop-Tart. Any ever talk of a Seinfeld reunion? Did that materialize?
Well, they sort of did one on that one season of Curb Your Enthusiasm on HBO, the Larry David sitcom. That was a way of doing it, but not doing it. And I think that was really the right way to go. They know that they could never do a Seinfeld reunion that would really meet everybody's expectations. So they filtered it through this prism of Curb Your Enthusiasm, and it was great.
Okay. Well, yeah, and I think some of the beauty of Seinfeld was just this daily routine to it. You know, If you go expecting spectacular humor, you're going to be disappointed. It's just the sort of the banality of it, but the, you know, the spikes and the unusual things that happen.
So. Right.
Okay, and new movies. What's coming out this week, briefly here?
Today is F9. Finally, after a long wait due to COVID, people are finally going to get to see the 9th installment in the Fast and Furious franchise. So that will be the big movie probably of the entire summer.
At theaters?
At theaters only.
Yeah, at theaters. Okay, well, I'll tell my lovely bride it might be time for some more movie popcorn. We're big fans of those. And where was Hitman's Wife's Bodyguard? That also in theaters?
That's also in theaters,
just
yes.
Just in theaters. All right, fabulous. Thank you so much,
okay,
Movie Mike.
Thank you.
Movie Mike McGranahan back in our studios, and his appearance always sponsored by the Campus Theater, Lewisburg.